You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Fusaro. Joe, the Marlins once again made big news, as has kind of been the pattern all winter into spring now, by doing something they really wanted to do, which was getting a deal done with Christian Yelich. What sort of, either on player or club side, enabled this to become a done deal?
Well, it's kind of interesting, Matthew, because coming into the offseason, retaining core or trying to sign some of those core pre-arb guys like Yelich was a high priority. And the irony is that what they kind of wanted to do first, they ended up doing last. So, obviously, Stanton was first in terms of big picture, what they wanted, they got him taken care of. But I think they always felt before opening day they could revisit Yelich, who was among Yelich, Jose, Ozuna, and Echeverria. His camp seemed most agreeable to getting the long-term deal done. Getting it done by opening day was big because the player didn't want that hanging over his head. They approached, got dollar figures that, you know, it's hard to get a comp salary-wise for a guy with 1.5 year service time. They initially kind of worked off of like a Jed Jerko's deal in San Diego, and then they kind of got to the Anthony Rizzo, which was 7 years, $41 million with the Cubs a couple of years back, and they kind of grew from there, and they were able to finalize it a couple of days ago. Huge pickup. I think the message it sends is very big internally to the clubhouse, to the player. Now you got your two corner outfielders locked up for a long time. They could play free of any contract distractions. Great sign for the community as well, and that they mean business. And a kid who could be a future batting champ. He's already been a Gold Glove winner. Very exciting player in Yelich, and a real priority, and they achieved that.
He seems like kind of an unusual player. I'd be curious to hear what kind of player you think he becomes, because I've seen his bat compared to a guy like Joe Mauer. He's got the defense in the outfield. He's kind of an unusual player. Is there anybody you could kind of... he's a very good player, but I feel like he's kind of maybe not as well known as he is good. What kind of player does this guy become, do you think?
Yeah, he could be a little bit of everything. I don't think he's going to be a real big power guy. Dan Jennings, Marlins GM, compared him a little bit to a Don Mattingly in terms of an approach. I don't know if he's ever really going to hit more than 20 homers, if that's going to be his game. I know they think he has a chance to be a number three hitter. He's a young 23. He turned 23 in December. He's very lean. His game is tailored to get on base, do things, be a really quality hitter. He hits left-handed pitching very well as well. I don't think, you know, when they move Hanley from lead off to three, Hanley was a strong guy, you know, a couple of years ago. They got a strong guy who hits three in Stanton. There's really no urgency to move Yelich down the order. But he is a guy that maybe when he's 25, 26, could be a little bit more dominant power guy. He does have power. But Marlins Park isn't exactly where, you know, favorable to him in terms of those power numbers. So I think you're going to see a really good line drive guy. He runs really well. Covers a lot of ground. Doesn't have the strongest throwing arm, but his overall game, he steals a bag, he runs the base as well. You're right, he doesn't necessarily compare to, I can't say, oh, this is, you know, a Justin Upton type of left fielder. He's not a singles hitter either. So, you know, here's a guy I think is going to hit a lot of doubles. Marlins Park triples as well. He's going to score close to 100 runs and drive in probably 60 or 70.
He apparently is dealing with a real minor physical issue. Is this anything to worry about at all?
No, and, you know, he probably would... obviously, if this was a regular season, he'd be in there. What he has on his right hand, on his palm of his right hand, kind of near the thumb, a little blister, which hitters tend to develop calluses swinging all the times they do. If this was regular season, he's playing. They decided just give him another day. He had been using a little pad inside his batting glove. He didn't find that comfortable at all. So rather than risk anything, he'll play this week. You know, he's going to make a trip to Lakeland and play the Tigers. He's really happy about that long drive. He'll be fine. But it is kind of ironic, and the joke's already made, the day after he signs a nearly $50 million contract, he has a blister on his signing hand.
The other guy they really hoped to get done was Marcell Ozuna. It's not done. Opening day is getting closer. Is it fair to guess that for a variety of reasons, including his representation, that that is going to be a tougher nut to crack?
Yeah, it really is. Scott Boras represents Jose Fernandez and Marcell Ozuna. Ozuna is still, I have to do the math in my head, but he's still several years away from being free agent. He'll be arbitration next year, but I think they have 4 years because he was a Super 2. If he puts up 25-30 home runs, it's going to be really interesting because he's going to make a lot of money in that first-year arb. Now, there'll be peer pressure that, hey, I could get a long-term deal, or are they going to ride me out for 4 years, you know? So the way they look at it, they have him for another 4 or 5 years regardless. But they really like that outfield trio, and I think as they grow older, I think Major League Baseball and its fans, more than just South Florida, are going to realize just how good these guys are. And if they could retain all three, that would be great. They're all three homegrown as well. So Ozuna is a guy who's not going to get done anytime soon. But, you know, Marcell even said perhaps next offseason they'll play it by ear. And I would think that would be the time. If it goes too much further after that, I think it's going to be very doubtful to get an extension.
You wrote recently that it appears that the Marlins rotation is set. There was some question as to what the back of the rotation would look like. Had some guys make strong cases. How did that kind of come to get done?
Yeah, they kind of never wavered off their main five, for one. I mean, the number five spot's the one that was the most up in the air. That was Tom Kohler, the incumbent, who had, 30 starts last year, did a really good job in his first full year in the big leagues. And he had Brad Hand, who's worked both out of the pen and rotation. He would be the only lefty. And David Phelps, who had gotten a trade with the Yankees, who they really like. But he's really kind of that swing guy and gives them that really good insurance policy. And, you know, the battle scene between those three. Well, more and more, Kohler was getting the benefit of the doubt, getting the incumbent's edge. And I don't really see, other than an injury or a trade or something like that, that's going to take anything off there. So I think you're looking at Tom Kohler, who had a stronger camp last year. He really made a name for himself in spring training. Hasn't had as good a camp this year, but they know what they got. They like his toughness. They like his durability. And they think his stuff is really good, too. He needs to throw more strikes. But, you know, for a fifth starter, yeah, it looks like he's going to be the guy.
That was probably the biggest question facing this club coming into camp as far as a position battle kind of thing. What else is left to be done over these last week and a half with roster spots?
Yeah, Matthew, this is the most interesting in all the years I've covered this team in terms of really very, very few spots open. I mean, maybe one, maybe two in the bullpen, and maybe one or two bench spots. And so it's, they already got, like a Derek Dietrich, who was hoping to contend for that utility spot. They knew he wasn't going to make it. They were wanting to get him. They cherish his bat, and they want to see him play every day. So they got rid of him pretty fast in camp. So you got guys like Donovan Solano, Reed Brignac, who's had a strong camp, Don Kelly, who could play everywhere but pitch, it seems like. You got those guys all in that, and Scott Sizemore's there. Then you have, they're all for that utility spot. Now, do they carry a fifth outfielder? If so, is that Reed Johnson, who's a right-handed batter, who was a pinch hitter last year with this club? Tyler Colvin has been in camp and done a good job. Cole Gillespie. I mean, you got a lot of guys. And the wild card is, will they go with only 12 position players because they like their pitching and their depth that they may feel in April with the poor weather and may need more pitching? Do they go with 13 pitchers to start, which is 8 relievers? I don't know if the manager wants that, but there are some, roster stuff that come into play. So you're looking at maybe one or two bullpen spots. And, you have a guy like a Nick Massett, who they really liked, who they got as an on-roster invitee, who was very good several years ago with the Reds, but had injury situations, played last year with the Rockies, showed he could get back to the big leagues. But this Andrew McCarrahan is very curious because he's a lefty who doesn't pitch above A ball. He's a Rule 5 pick, who I don't think is going back to Chicago. And that doesn't mean he's going to be a Marlin, but there are about 20 scouts every day that would take him right now, and he would be on their big league team. So the Marlins could flip and trade him. But the same reasons that those clubs want him, the Marlins like him too, because young, cheap, affordable left-handed pitching with upside, he's a guy, if Brad Hand is traded, and it seems like if there is a trade, he is most likely, that could open up a spot, or if they carry that extra pitcher. Interesting battles. don't take anything for granted, and anything's still possible. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a trade or two. And as before we had opening day, and who might fall off the trees from another club that might fit here. So really, really interesting camp, but in terms of openings, you're only looking at 2-3 spots, and I just gave you the candidates.
Well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras. Taylor Swift, thanks for your cameo appearance in the background, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is now available. Watch over 250 spring training games and every regular season game live or on demand in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices, every night, on every device. Visit MLB.tv for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply.